How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey guys, if you want more Girls Next Level tea, behind the scenes, and deep dives, head over to our Patreon page for the exclusive content you can only find there. We have a whole other podcast called Slumber Party with Holly and Bridget. We have the commercial-free, uncensored video version of Girls Next Level, our personal scrapbooks, advice, Q&A, and so much more. I'm up in the comments talking to you guys. It's all the good stuff. We've been doing this for about a year and a half now, so there's a ton of content to binge. So go over to patreon.com/girlsnextlevel to join our Patreon family. We love you guys so much. We'll see you there.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast. What are you up to? What's going on?
A couple of things. One, I feel like a new mother.
Did you get a new pet?
Well, yes and no. So we have a kitten in the house, and it's a long story why we have it right now. We were not in the market to get a new kitten or anything like that, and it's not actually ours, although It may end up being. But he is the cutest little bundle of kittenness you've ever seen.
Aww.
But I feel like I have a newborn or something because he wakes me up like 20 times a night with his little mews, and he comes on top of me and he's making muffins all over me in the middle of the night, and he tries
to get... Is that what they call it when a cat scratches you, making muffins?
Yeah, well, they do this thing with their claws like this on top of you, and
there's a whole cat owner language that I'm not privy to.
Muffins, they're making muffins, and he does that all night long throughout different hours of the night. Then he tries to get under the covers with me. And then he wants to like suckle on my skin sometimes, which I think is really weird. I'm like, no, you can't do that. And if I push him away, he thinks I'm trying to play. So then he's like getting my hands and stuff. He's attacking my necklace in the middle of the night, trying to get this little pearl. I mean, I feel like I'm up all night long. I'm like, I told Nick, I think it feels like we had a newborn baby.
Yeah, that's exhausting. I'm tired just thinking about it.
But he's the cutest thing ever.
Aww.
He's black and white.
On social, so everybody can see, or Patreon or something.
Yeah, and he's like a little alpha male cat. Like one of our cats just keeps, he's not sure about this, and he keeps just hissing at him. And but he doesn't like run away or anything. Just if the kitten gets too close to him, he'll like hiss. And the kitten does not care at all. The kitten just rolls over and tries to get his tail, and it really pisses him off. But it's cute. It's Aww, really cute.
That's cute.
So we're smitten, but it's not ours. But there's a potential that it's going to be.
Aw, cute.
And then I was like, so I was running around this morning. I don't know why. I gave myself plenty of time, but I was running around like crazy. Felt like I was just short on time for everything. And I pulled up here and I went to put the car in park, and I realized I forgot to put my ring on. I took it off. I take it off when I shower and put on lotion and stuff because I don't want it to get all funky. And I forgot to put my ring on. And I feel like I have to like say that when I do that, because people will be like, why is she not wearing her ring?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I was going to say, you didn't lose it though, did you?
No, it's on the bathroom counter. Mm-hmm. But like, I just feel like if I don't say something, people are going to be like,
what's going on in your life?
She's not wearing her ring today. Are they fighting? Are they breaking up? No, nothing like that. I'm absent-minded. That's what it is.
Would you ever get a Neuralink?
A what?
The chip they put in your brain.
Did I get one?
No, would you ever get one?
Oh. What does it do?
Well, right now they're doing it so like paralyzed people can walk again and things like that.
Oh, if it made really me cool. walk again, if I were paralyzed and it made me walk again, 1,000%.
Oh, 100%. But they want to do it also so it can just speed up your thinking, make you speak other languages. You can communicate with each other without talking. Would you ever get one?
Well, those all sound like positive, amazing things. I don't know what the draw. There must be something that makes people not want to do that. Like, well, are they tracking all your data?
Yet. It's not like available yet. I think it's scary to get surgery and get something put in your brain.
Yes, but like, I mean, I feel like people would be really worried about tracking data or like being able to collect your thoughts,
like privacy, or like. That's- annoying.
And what are they going to use that for? I don't know. I would need to know more about it. But all those things you told me sounds amazing. I'm like, sign me up.
I think if I got a Neuralink and like all of a sudden had an edge or could like be fluent in all these languages and stuff, I would be insufferable. Like I should honestly be put on a watch list. Like, don't give this bitch one because she's just going to be so fucking smug and thinking she's so great.
You know what I think of it as? I feel like it. When you said it, I feel like it's like one of those little chips you put in your pets. The tracking chip.
That's kind of how I picture it too.
Like it's just like pop and it goes in. I mean, I think it's still painful to go in, but once it's in, it's just there. It's like a grain of rice. Like that's how I picture it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I mean, where is that technology?
Oh, I think they've just started to put it in people, like the first people.
Oh, they are actually inserting these.
Yeah. I listened to the longest, I think it was like Lex Fridman or something, the longest ass podcast. It was like a 7-hour podcast on the Neuralink, and I'm not regurgitating any of the information. So maybe don't put me on a watch list. Maybe give me one because I'm not killing it right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I don't know. I would have to know the pros and cons of it, but I'm kind of liking it.
Yeah. It could be interesting.
Yeah.
So this episode is the second episode in season 3. It's called May the Horse Be With You. And I think of it as like the Star Wars episode. That's why I'm wearing my Princess Leia shirt. If you guys are watching the video, and I got you a baby Yoda shirt.
Yoda. Very cute.
Yeah, I think of it as like the Star Wars episode, the horse episode. But as I'm watching it back, I'm realizing it's really none of those. And what it really mirrors is the second episode from season 2, which was called Career Dazed. And the purpose of that episode was, now that we started the season off with a bang, let's get to know these girls again. Who are they? What have they been doing since we last left off with them? What's going on? I felt like that was the vibe of this episode. Did you think that?
Yeah, and it's interesting because along your same lines of thought, I did not think of this episode as anything to do with doing my demo reel or anything like that. Like, I fully thought of it as just...
I forgot about that part.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't forget about doing the demo reel. Mm-hmm. I just didn't realize it was part of this episode. I thought it was a different episode. Yeah. So yeah, I thought it was really interesting because when I think of this too, I just sort of think horseback riding, decorating the float. But when I think about that, that's not really an episode. Those are just things we were doing.
Well, I was shocked to realize that the Star Wars part is only the cold open. I think it's because of the title, May the Horse Be With You. I'm like, oh, that's the Star Wars / horseback riding episode.
Yeah.
But it's really like the heart and story of the episode is show a little bit of the New Year's Eve party, which we'll get to, and New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Which made me think of manifesting again. And I know we just talked about manifesting in the Brandy episode a few weeks ago, but I feel like that might be a theme for this season. And I know a lot of you guys out there like to talk about manifesting, as do we. And I wanted to ask you, like, I know you do the vision board and everything at the end of the year, so you're ready to go by New Year's. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other times of the year you kind of do it or revamp? Because I'm kind of doing it right now as we're recording this in September. And since September was always like the start of a new school year and it's right after summer when you're done being lazy, I feel like I kind of revamp a little bit and I kind of take stock and I'm like, where am I with my goals? Do you do that too?
I just did that. Yes. And then when I get a goal, if I feel like I didn't like kind of articulate it enough, like for instance, my paranormal podcast is starting next week. I go back in and I'm like, okay, this paranormal podcast, like what do I want from this? And where do I see it like in a year from now? Like I revamp that whole section, especially, or if anything else like that's going on too, like I'll revamp that. Like even this podcast, like I'll be like, okay, we got all those goals checked off that I had for this year. So where else do I want it to go now? So, yeah, I definitely revamp and add to it so that you're always progressing.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've made a lot of progress this year or is it? Where would you say you're at?
I do. And I feel like I made a lot of progress right off the bat.
Me too. I felt like I started really strong right off the bat. I wouldn't say I'm like anywhere close to checking everything out because I put some really lofty shit on there. Like I know some of it's going to get recycled for the next year because it's like really big picture stuff. I'd say I'm only like at best like a third of the way checked off, even though we're 2/3 of the year.
I would say, well, I need to go through and like actually look at it because I haven't like kind of gauged where I'm at on all that. But I would say that I'm probably about a third too. But like you said, I put really crazy shit on there that I kind of know
It's
probably not going to happen this year. But what the hell? It doesn't hurt to put it out there. And this is what
you need to think about long term.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things on there that I'm like, well, of course I didn't do that yet. I
mean, totally. Like,
what was I thinking? But yeah, you got to stay positive.
Like I have different sections on my vision board, but like, for example, the personal life section, there are kind of three categories there. And the first one was like my kids, and that's totally checked off. Everything's good. Everything's great. No complaints. We did the vacations we wanted to do, like making all the memories we wanted to make. Obviously the year's not over yet. Still got a lot of holidays to do, but that one is on track. Personal life did not go where I thought it was going to go, but it's also okay. Like, it's fine. And then the last one I had was I wanted to go on this trip and I have not planned it yet. And I think I just need to plan it even if I fucking go by myself. And I feel like that's a helpful thing with manifesting too, is there's so much that's out of our control. Like there's jobs we're trying to get from other people or things we're trying to get that we don't have direct control over. So if there's something you do have control over and you're just not scheduling it for some dumb reason, fucking do it, because that'll help push the other things, I feel. I'm very superstitious about that.
Yeah, I was thinking this too, because I almost canceled this whole trip because I just felt like it was getting too close. And we had so much that we need to schedule and we weren't doing it. And then my parents wanted to go on the other trip to like Boston and Michigan and want me to help them to go to all of that. And I just thought it's, you know, too much all at once. But then there was another part of me that's like, you only live once. And like, these are amazing opportunities, and just do it. You can make it work.
Totally.
And so I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I did. All right. So are we going to go jump in that
Rotto time machine? Yes. So this episode aired March 11th, 2007. The number one dance track was Say It Right by Nelly Furtado. The number one movie was 300. Do you remember that? Kevin's friend did that movie.
300. What was
like
that?
The Spartan soldiers.
I was going to say, was it? Yeah. Okay. Yes. I remember.
Yeah. So the first thing that happens in this episode is I come into your room and announce to Wednesday, your mom is going to be Yoda.
Yes. And Anastasia's there.
Mm-hmm.
And in interview, I say, Holly is a big Star Wars fan and we got invited to decorate the Star Wars float for the Rose Parade. And I said, we have to dress up.
Yeah. And the reason we were doing this was Kevin that same year was doing a documentary for Lucasfilm about this group of people. It's like a fan group that all dress up as stormtroopers. They're called the 501st. And they were asked to march in the Rose Parade in front of this Star Wars float. And for those of you that don't know, the Rose Parade is something they do every New Year's Day in Pasadena. It's these big floats that are made all out of flowers
and organic material, seeds. And
we were invited to go help like put those together, which was crazy.
Well, they rely fully on volunteers to help put those together. So people volunteer their time and it's so tedious, like tiny little seeds on these gigantic floats. And so they start well in advance.
Yeah.
Because I think we were there and like, weren't we there? Do you remember when we did this?
Yeah, it was one of the very last days of December.
Okay.
So
it wasn't too far in advance. I thought it was even more in advance than that.
Yeah, no, it was like one of the last. I almost want to say, like, wasn't the float like kind of close to done by the time we popped in there?
There was a lot of work done on it.
Yeah.
But I think I felt like there was a lot that still needed to be done. Like,
totally.
I felt like, do you need us to come back? Because I feel like we didn't get very far.
But the whole reason we were able to do all the Star Wars stuff and get approval for that is because Kevin did do things for Lucasfilm. So, like, now you could never get away with it because Disney owns it. Like, I did the Ghost Adventures episode. I have the Baby Yoda Christmas tree in my living room, and they had to blur out every single Baby Yoda.
Oh my God. You guys, there's like 100 of them on that
Zach
tree.
Was like, so. My editors hated you.
Yes. If you're like me and you are always on the hunt for products that genuinely improve your life, then listen up. I'm about to turn you on to one of my absolute favorite products. It's Lumi's Acidified Deodorant Wipes. That's right, deodorant wipes. I realized I'd love this product when we were camping and I was able to use them on the go. They are perfect to use while traveling. They have 24-hour odor control for pits, privates, feet, and beyond. They're like a shower without actually needing the shower. They're OBGYN developed and they smell really good. I truly can't recommend this product enough. Are you ready to make the upgrade to Lumi? New customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code NEXTLEVEL at LumiDeodorant.com, LumiDeodorant.com.
I'm obsessed with Lumi deodorant because you can use it anywhere. It feels so light on your body and the amazing scents like the lavender sage and the tangerine. I love them so much. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Pits, underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. It was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It's baking soda free and paraben free. Also, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code NEXTLEVEL for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code NEXTLEVEL at LumiDeodorant.com.
Oh my gosh. Well, it was such a fun opportunity. I'd always wanted to do that too, like go and see the, well, at least see the floats. It never even occurred to me that I could go and help decorate one.
Yeah.
So I was into it.
It never occurred to me what the behind the scenes of that even was or how those got made.
Yeah.
Until we were asked to do it. And I say in commentary that there was this party Hef and I were at, some like promo, like fitness party at the mansion. And somebody was interviewing him and they go, what do you think when you think of yoga? And he goes, Star Wars. He thought of Yoda. Yeah. And you know what else is funny? So my kids think baby Yoda is like the OG Yoda. And old Yoda is like Yoda's dad or something. Like he's the side character now.
Oh, I
can see
that.
Isn't that funny perspective?
Yeah, I can totally see that, though. Yeah. So we, before we even go to the floats, we go to the costume rental house.
Do you think that place is still in business?
I hope so, but I never go on that part of town anymore.
Well, I hope so, too, but I feel like it's the kind of thing that's not, for several reasons. One, COVID took a lot of people like that out. Two, the like bagged Leg Avenue type costumes that you can just get on Amazon are so popular.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
I don't know. We could look that up, though.
Yeah. I think Amazon was still, like, only selling books at this time period.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
It's really weird.
And you know what's funny that you say that? So I buy so much crap on Amazon. But the other day, I needed a book. I'm going to a baby shower, and I needed this. I wanted to get the Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. I get it for every baby shower I go to. And I was like, I wonder if Amazon would have that book. Like, they started out as a bookseller, and I wasn't even thinking of them as being, like, selling books. Because I don't even associate it with books necessarily anymore.
I bet a lot of people don't even know that's how Amazon started.
Yeah.
I bet this is news to some younger listeners.
Yeah, only books.
Yeah, that's so weird.
And so we go in there and you automatically want to be Princess Leia because it's your favorite character. And then I say I'm super excited because I want to be Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And Anastasia is going to be Chewbacca. Well, I remember, so originally when we were going to do this, what I wanted to be was an Ewok.
And they didn't have an Ewok
I wanted
costume.
Anastasia and I to both be Ewoks. I thought that'd be so cute. And they do not have Ewok costumes.
I was really into Ewoks. My MySpace name was Holly Ewok. It was not Holly Madison.
I just think Ewoks are really cute, and I always have, even though I'm not like a big Star Wars fan. I'm just like, when I used to think about Star Wars, I would think Ewoks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I really wanted to be. So when I found out I couldn't, I'm like, what else am I going to do?
And the guy who works there looks like Lando from Star Wars. Did you notice that?
No, but I heard other people saying that, too, that he looks like a Star Wars character.
I know.
And he's giving us hella weird looks. Like, what are you guys doing?
I know. He probably actually wasn't, though. He was probably just resting for a second, and they cut it in to make it look like he was eyeing
probably,
us.
But it's funny. So then we go to the Rose Bowl. It's actually not the Rose Bowl. We go to these giant the warehouses. Bangers,
yeah.
Yeah, in, I was going to say Inglewood. It's in,
I don't remember where we went.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. We went to these giant warehouses way out. It wasn't even in Pasadena either, but it's out that way. And that's where they stage all of them.
Yeah. Am I crazy, or do the Princess Leia buns that I did myself in this episode look better than the professionally done ones in episode one?
Well, because they blend better.
Yeah. It wasn't like
you probably
separate
used what
extension.
Yeah. It wasn't the like clip-in extensions added to
yeah.
it. It was your real extension hair.
Yeah. And we get out of the limo to go in, and they cut in all this footage of like people taking pictures as if we're getting like paparazzi'd or something. But I don't think that was the case at all. I don't think there was one person there taking pictures. I think that's all fake.
I think if they were taking pictures, they were taking pictures of the floats.
Right.
And the process of it.
Yeah, but I don't think there was anybody like outside as we're getting out of the limo. I think that was all like fake cut in footage.
But do you remember? So we couldn't get out of the limo right away because somebody from Lucasfilms, we talk about it in commentary, mm-hmm. somebody from Lucasfilms had to come and approve our costumes before we walked in.
Yeah, to make sure it wasn't the Ho versions. They didn't want a sexy Yoda. I'm like envisioning this costume right now with like green tights.
They need a sexy Yoda
oh, no.
costume.
Somebody's had to have done it.
Trashy, come on.
Oh my God.
So we're approved. We can go inside. Mm-hmm. And we have a tour person that shows us the warehouse. And you can see all the flowers that they're using. Mm-hmm. That's so incredible. It smelled so good in there. And why do I have that baby Yoda in my hand? And where did I get it?
It was a gift that I got for Christmas. It was some kind of special Yoda doll. I forgot what it did. But it's funny because we in commentary, we call it the baby Yoda.
I know.
But this is before like Grogu baby Yoda was a thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you've
exist.
Got the baby Yoda.
I know. And didn't it speak? Didn't it say
it
little
things? It did something special. Yeah, there was some like special reason I wanted that. It was like a what like at the time it was like the cutting edge like Star Wars merch or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things. I don't think it had like the string that you pull, but it was one of those things
like
where
you squeeze it and it had sayings and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. He'd ask his questions, thought-provoking questions.
And I had to watch this because obviously when we're doing notes, we watch it regular once and then watch it with commentary to make the notes.
Yeah.
In case we drop any like truth bombs in the commentary or anything.
Yeah.
We do. We learn a lot from the commentary. Like shit I forgot about. Mm-hmm. It's all up in the commentary. And I had to watch this twice before it even dawned on me that Kendra's not in the scene. And I don't miss her in it, but it didn't even occur to me the first time.
Oh, no, I totally remember that she didn't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
Not her thing. And we were doing, like, you put glue on, and then you, like, sprinkle these little seeds on,
yeah.
and you hold the plate underneath it to collect all the extra seeds, and then do another little glue spot. And it's very tedious, like, microscopic work. It's
totally
crazy how much time and effort they put into all those floats. And my sister was totally into it. I was totally into it. She's like, I could have done that all day long.
It was really fun and just, like, a fascinating way to see, like, what happens behind the scenes and the prep that goes into these floats and stuff.
I think so, too. But then scary music starts.
Yes,
and then
Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers show up.
And, okay, you guys, I don't watch Star Wars.
Have you still never seen a
I've
Star
seen
Wars?
I've seen one since.
Which one?
That with that girl Daisy in it.
The new one?
A new one, yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't dislike the new ones, but it's not, like, the best experience, I think, to start there.
Well, I told Nick this is exactly what I thought this was, and I'm not that into it. I know that's not a popular opinion. Everybody loves Star Wars except me, I feel like. It's the weirdest thing, but I honestly, because the Stormtroopers were all in white, I thought that there was a possibility they were good guys.
No.
Yeah, I didn't know. And I have no idea. This is going to sound so dumb, probably. But I had no idea. I don't know what their relationship is to Yoda and Chewbacca or how they feel about each other.
Yeah, they didn't like any of us.
Or like how much trouble we were really in when they came walking up.
Yeah, and they were dead serious. Like, the actors weren't talking to me. They were in character.
You're like, oh, so where are you from?
Yeah.
Besides the Death Star.
Yeah. They threw in a little lightsaber dick joke, and that was the cold open.
But I was actually kind of nervous because I'm like, they're not playing around.
Yeah, they were kind of scary.
Yeah. Oh, what's about to happen here?
Have you ever taken a self-defense class and then they have the thing where like a guy will come in like a big suit and you're supposed to fight him off and it's scary as fuck?
No, but I've seen that on TV before.
It was terrifying.
Have you taken a self-defense
class? Yes. And it was scary.
Well, good for you. I've never done that.
Yeah. I don't know how much muscle memory would come back if I, you know.
Yeah, but I've seen those big ass suits. They are scary.
Yeah. And just like that particular instructor was like so intense about it. I was like, ooh, this is a little too close for comfort.
Yeah. You know, Holly and I love to celebrate anniversaries and milestones and basically any kind of celebrations. June's Journey is turning 7 in October, and it's a huge milestone for the game. There's going to be exclusive content and rewards available during the celebration. Most of you guys know how much Holly and I love June's Journey, but everyone loves a family secret, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. Join June and her companions on an emotional quest for justice, navigating love, loss, and betrayal. Search for hidden clues to uncover her sister's murder, revealing fragments of June's childhood and key information leading to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you?
I love a crime story, and I am on a mission to uncover the mystery of June's sister's murder. This game has such a captivating detective storyline. You can play all kinds of aspects of this game, the hidden object game, the decorating your island estate, all that stuff. There's also a community. You can chat and play with other players in the detective club. How cute is that? Each scene leads to a thrilling storyline, a new one, so you never get bored. I love playing June's Journey when I'm at the airport waiting for my flight or in the waiting room at the doctor's office. It's the perfect way to kill time, and it's so aesthetic. I love the look of this game. It's set in the beautiful Roaring 20s, New York, Paris. Escape into a world of mystery and celebrate June's Journey's upcoming 7th anniversary. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android and prepare for some thrilling new mysteries.
And I felt like the scene was kind of long for a cold open. Usually they're just like blips, but this one was an extended scene, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the network didn't say, no, Kendra, shorten it.
I know. And there's a big banner outside the hangar or warehouse or whatever it was we went that says 2007 and like, or 2007 Rose Parade.
Yeah.
And even though like I know that's the year that took place, it just feels so ancient to see that on the screen, like 2007. Crazy.
Yeah.
So then, you know, it's like the opening bobblehead cartoon sequence, and they added my golf cart.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Every season gets a little tweak. Until season 5, they totally like revamp.
I like that, though. I like that they add just like a little something, and you have to really be paying attention to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't gotten your golf cart yet.
I know. And so it's a spoiler.
It is a spoiler.
For those who are observant.
So then the next scene starts out outside the mansion at night. It's all lit up in purple and everyone is screaming the New Year's countdown.
How did the New Year's party rank for you on our calendar of events?
Oh, just in general?
Yeah.
Like every year? Oh, it was one of the least favorites, probably.
Yeah, it was. Not that it wasn't fun, but it was of all the parties, it seemed to have a downer energy. And Hef didn't even like New Year's. He always said it was like a bad time. Like he always was going through breakups during New Year's and had kind of those memories and stuff like that. So it wasn't his favorite. And there was kind of like an odd downer energy. It's kind of like the Auld Lang Syne song.
Yes.
It's such a downer.
It makes me cry every time, even if I'm having a good time. When that song comes on, I get all emotional. And
it's a really strange energy. And then that was the party where like people would dress up in black tie. Like women could wear lingerie, but mostly people come in like black tie and gowns and stuff like that. And then it ended early, of course, because it was New Year's and a lot of the guests went immediately somewhere else after midnight. And it just...
You know what else I feel like tampered the energy of that party or tempered? Is it what? Tempered? What else tempered the energy of that party is... They had it carpeted with white carpet inside. And for some reason, every time I think about that party, I think about the energy sort of being sucked into that carpet a little bit.
Weird.
Like it quieted the whole party down and it gave it like this more, almost like a more subtle,
muffled.
Yes.
Energy.
Yes. And I don't know why, but I feel like it had something to do. I know this sounds so weird, but I feel like it had something to do with that carpet, like messing with people's energy in there.
You know what? I believe it because subtle things can like fuck with the energy.
I mean, they always put like the fake grass down, but that didn't like mess with the energy in there.
No, that
like
always that, felt cheerful, I thought.
Yeah. But this white carpet, it gave it a whole different feeling inside, almost like you were indoors, and it just sort of changed the whole vibe. And I don't know why every time I think about New Year's, I think about the white carpet and just this like kind of stuffy feeling I get in that tent with the carpet in there for some reason.
Yeah, that's
I don't
weird.
Know if that makes any sense. But yeah. And then a lot of people couldn't bring dates. So you want to be with a date on New Year's Eve.
Right.
So a lot of people, especially a lot of the playmates that we were friends with, where they're like, no, I'm not coming because I want to be with my husband or my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to bring them. And some were, and they came, and we had a good time. But at this particular New Year's party, I did have a good time because, and you see it right off the bat at the party, it's so shot out of order. So I had this amazing red outfit that I wore that Anna Marie from Revamp made for me. But we all go up like normal, like right after midnight. But Hef let Stacy, Crystal, and Anastasia and I come back down.
Oh, that's rare.
And so I just put on my little zip-up robe hoodie and my bunny slippers and went back down to the party.
Was it fun?
And we had the best time.
Oh, I bet.
So much fun. But people have been asking because they're like, wait, why is Bridget in a robe dancing at first and flashing the camera? Because I had all like big ass panties. And then later she's all dressed up. Well, it's because it was shot so out of order that really I was all dressed up. Then we all go up for the night and then some of us came back down and we're all wearing like our pajamas and super comfortable and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was really, really fun.
And they show a montage of different celebrities at the party. This is the first time they're not showing Bill Maher.
Right. He must have had a date that night somewhere else.
Well, none of those celebrities they showed were at the party.
I was thinking that too.
It was like Justin Timberlake, and I forget who else they showed, but it was all footage from other parties.
Yeah.
Was that the party that George Lucas was there?
Yes.
For though, yeah. And I remember because Sarah is like a big Star Wars fan too, so I dared her to go over to say hi to him. And I could be wrong about this, but I think she went over and said that I dared her to go say hi. And then she walked away and I'm watching from a distance and he turns to his date, who I think is like his wife now. And he was like you just, I can't hear anything, but you see him like look kind of disgusted and talking. And I have no idea what they were actually talking about. But in my mind, it was like, oh my God, she went over there and he was annoyed. And he said, oh, she dared me to come say hi. And now he's disgusted.
Why did I bother coming to this thing?
Yeah.
Coming up to me like that.
Just daring to say hello. I have no idea if that's what they were actually talking about. But in my mind, that's what it was. And it was so embarrassing. And I could never show my face again.
That's what it would have been in my mind, too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally. And it shows a painted lady dancing on stage. And I feel kind of bad for her because she's like gyrating around and from behind. And I feel like we're seeing a little bit more than what she bargained for.
Oh, I didn't notice. But
yeah. Because you know how sometimes like with camera angles, you think certain things are covered and they're not.
Yeah.
Learned that lesson a few times.
Well, and I also think I haven't done it to that extent. I've been body painted, but not like, and then gone out naked. But like, I think once you're body painted, I think you feel covered.
And like forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to be what people say. So, yeah.
I feel like the angle she was at, you would think, oh, they're just seeing my butt, not my pussy lips. But they're like,
they're there. Yeah.
So, sorry.
Yeah, so everybody except for poor Holly got to go back down and go dancing and hang out more and have a bunch of fun. Then it's the next day at the mansion. The fake rooster's crowing. Julie comes walking down the hall on her way to Kendra's room. And of course, Kendra's still sleeping. Oh, and they make this look like it's like January 1st.
Right.
But it's definitely not. She's not knocking on her door early in the morning to get her up on New Year's Day. Actually, on New Year's Day, we should talk about what we do at the mansion.
What
did you forget? Oh, so they always have the New Year's Day games on, like the Rose Bowl game and like the Orange Bowl. Yeah. I don't know, maybe not the Orange, whatever bowls are on New Year's Day. But everybody's invited over. They have all the TV monitors set up in the dining room, like Great Hall, like the living room. They have food, like bar food, like pub food everywhere, like chicken wings and just like all the yummy stuff. Like, and it's perfect for New Year's Day. So we would just like stroll down there. Hungover.
A hangover day.
eat the grubby food. It's so good.
So this scene with Julie helping Kendra clean her room is like the first check-in with like, what are the girls' New Year's resolutions? Because I think in the Christmas episode, we're talking about New Year's resolutions when we're going to look at Christmas lights. And Kendra said hers was to be cleaner and classier. Do you think this was her idea, this scene, though? Or do you think it was just production? Like, oh, what can we do for Kendra? This is what we'll do. We'll have Julie come over.
100%, I think it was production. It was like...
And Julie is just doing a service here. She ain't getting paid for her time.
Yeah.
And she's carrying the scene.
I've seen people ask, too, why was Kendra's room always so messy when there's housekeeping and stuff like that? But there's, like, only so much housekeeping can do. They come in and change the sheets and do the bed every day and wash your towels and wash your clothes and everything comes back folded, but they're not going to like go through your stuff and move everything and like organize everything
Yeah. People ask that a lot. They were there to clean, but not organize at all.
Yeah. They're not going to, they don't want to touch your stuff if they don't have to. Like they don't want to like, you know.
That would have been too much work.
They'd have been all day in her room every day.
Staff just for that room.
Yeah. So it was on her to keep it clean, even though you have somebody cleaning it, like somebody that's cleaning the bathroom and stuff. I mean, they would organize stuff a little bit. Like if I had left my makeup sitting all over because I was in a hurry, like on the bathroom counter, it would be all like kind of on one side and organized a little bit. But they're not going to go through your whole room and like move things around and change things.
You guys, you know what came along and just saved my life? Sundays. Sundays is a healthy dog food and it's easy to store and serve. As a lot of you may know, you've seen them in some of our videos. I have an adorable senior dog named Louie, and sometimes it's even hard to get him to get even interested in food. He was on some prescription stuff from the vet for a while, but then he even turned up his nose at that. And I needed something he really wanted to eat. Sundays is fresh dog food made from a very short list of human-grade ingredients. Louis loves this food. He loves to eat it. He gets so excited when I serve this food. And this food is so easy. Unlike other fresh dog foods, Sundays does not require refrigeration or preparation because of their air drying process. All you have to do is just pour and serve. And my schedule is swamped. I do not need to be making food from scratch or thawing food or doing whatever. So Sundays is perfect for me. Sundays contains 90% meat, 10% superfoods, and zero synthetic nutrients or artificial ingredients. Dog parents report noticeable health improvements in their pups, including softer fur, fresher breath, more energy. That is all stuff my baby boy needs. When you start a Sunday subscription, you'll automatically get 20% off and free shipping on every order. Cancel or pause your subscription anytime with our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Every order ships right to your door, so you'll never worry about running out of dog food again. This dog food makes my life so easy, and Louie actually loves it. Sundays came along right when I needed it, and I'm so grateful.
Get 40% off your first order of Sundays. Go to sundaysfordogs.com/next level. That's sundaysfordogs.com/next level and use code next level at checkout. Yeah, so Julie's really cracking the whip and making a list of all like the bins and like the wardrobe racks and all the things that she's going to need to get all of this organized, trash bags and all that kind of stuff. And she tells Kendra it's not healthy to be this unorganized. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I 1000% agree. Like, I can't even stand it if there is like a tie of a short hanging out of the drawer. Like, I tell Nick, it's sticking out, push it in, or like a sock sticking out of the drawer. Like, everything has a home. Everything needs to be put away. I can't stand it. Like, if I sit on my bed to watch a movie and something is out of place or needs to be done, I cannot relax and just watch the movie or the TV show or whatever until I get up and like put it away. Like, dirty dish sitting on my nightstand or like a suitcase that needs to be unpacked. I can't stand it.
Virgo moon. I aspire to be that organized, but I'm not. I'm like a Tasmanian devil, kind of like just always like bopping to the next thing and like get my 8 hours of sleep. And I feel like I don't have time to pick up after myself, kind of.
Well, I force myself to do it because I can't not do it any other way. But I sometimes feel like I'm struggling. Like sometimes I don't know which way to go first because this needs to be done and that needs to be done and this needs to be done. And like, I don't know which one I want to do first.
Yeah.
Like, so that kind of creates like a panic thing. So I wish I would relax more about it, but I can't. I can't relax till it's all put away and done.
Well, that's good though, because then it doesn't get out of control.
There's not dishes in my sink. That's not allowed.
I have some very out of control rooms in my house right now.
Okay, but that's different. Like I can have a junk drawer where everything can just go in there and doesn't have to be organized because in my head, that is what that drawer is for.
Yeah.
Or like a room that's just like a storage mess or whatever. That's fine because that is what that's for and the door is closed and we don't look in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the biggest thing that happens is this in this scene that kind of is a recurring joke throughout the episode is Kendra finds a giant pair of panties and they're like kind of see-through.
Yeah, but they're like a large cut.
Yes.
And they look like they'd be too big for her kind of too.
For sure.
Like,
but I think I know where they came from.
Yeah, we talk about it in commentary and that was one of the most common questions we were getting on the Patreon when I asked for questions about this episode. People were like, where did the underwear come from?
Yeah. Well, some people were asking if I was offended because it looks like something that I would wear.
No, I think they're asking that because in a later episode, the calendar one where you're the witch, like Arnie wants full butt underwear. Yes. And then Kendra finds like another pair in her room and she puts them on William's head and they try to make it look like it's the same pair.
I think it is the same pair, don't you think?
Really?
It looks like the same exact pair.
I just always assumed it wasn't and it was just the show like cutting stuff out of
clothes. Oh, I thought it was the same pair because it looked exactly the same, but it's not the pair that I wore in the calendar.
Oh, you mean the same pair from this episode?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it is. But these look like they're navy blue, by the way, and the ones I wore were black, so they're definitely not the ones I wore. I don't even know if I kept the ones I wore because it's not anything that I would have worn. I only would have kept them maybe to have the costume together. Like, this is what I wore in the calendar. Yeah. I wouldn't have worn those panties on a normal level because they're way too big than anything I would have wore. But I do think I know where they came from.
Where?
So there was a lingerie line that was sending us like just a bunch of lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember getting a pair similar to that. It's like a set.
I think I know what you're talking about. Like, I don't remember what the brand was called, but it was stuff that was a little matronly for us.
Yeah.
And like very nice that they wanted to send us things, but
yeah,
it was matronly.
Yeah. Like it had a matching little like top thing, like kind of a teddy camisole, but not like overly sexy.
Yeah.
Like kind of maybe nightgownish that went with it. And I'm pretty sure that's where it's from. And it's funny because it comes up later in Crystal's book.
Oh, it's that brand.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that makes 100%
and this,
sense.
Yeah. And so they work with Crystal later on.
Oh, that's funny. I say in commentary that I feel like my room has bad feng shui because it's always cluttered. And I don't think it was. I think I was pretty organized back then, but it was just such a small space to be in when you're living this lifestyle where you have to have all these different clothes for all the nights out and all the things.
All the stuff that we get sent all the time.
All my scrapbooks.
Yeah.
Like it was a lot of stuff to fit in that tiny, tiny space. Because I feel like your and Kendra's room, even though one was very organized and one was not, both rooms were full of stuff.
Yes. Definitely. And are you, I don't know, I'm curious if the listeners feel this way, but I'm kind of tired of seeing Kendra's room get cleaned. Like, this is not the first time we've seen this.
Well, I feel like we just saw it in deleted scenes. Like, they tried to do it with Kendra's mom and grandma when we were in Europe.
Yeah. So maybe that's why I'm kind of over this already. And I don't think it's the last time we're going to see a Kendra room cleaning scene. Don't they come again later? Or am I?
Well, I know her family came regularly to clean her room for her.
Which is mind-blowing to me. It's mind-blowing. But I just feel like it's sort of boring. Like, we get it.
Yeah, I feel like it is too. And I feel like it's just an example of, like, what Kevin liked and his sense of humor isn't what I like and my sense of humor. Like, he was very much into, like, the early 60s sitcom-style humor. And Kendra plot lines fit really well into that.
Yeah. So the next scene, you're sitting in the dining room making some phone calls. The first one goes to a fax machine. I haven't heard that noise in a long time.
Yeah. And I don't know if that was real. I think they put it in. But this is so Kendra's section was like her New Year's resolution was to be cleaner and classier. So somebody's going to clean her room for her. And then mine was I mean, I don't know what my real, I think my real New Year's resolutions and, well, I didn't do a New Year's resolution. I did a top 10 list at this time. I would do like a top 10 list. And in commentary, we're talking about how we're doing the commentary in August of 2007. So we're 2/3 of the way through the year. And I'm like, I have almost checked all mine off, which to me tells me I was limiting myself and not really doing super lofty goals. But I think at that time in my life, I was locked in such a mindset just because of everything I'd gone through in my first 4 or 5 years there, where I felt like I'm never going to have a career outside this place. I'm never going to be like allowed to do anything. Nobody's going to want me because I've been here, kind of a thing. So my goals were all like, what can I do? How can I expand Girls Next Door and do like business things, but have it be within this world?
Yeah.
So I think those were probably my real goals. But in the show we had, and I don't even remember who came up with this idea or why, but we wanted to go horseback riding, but you know, they don't want us to go horseback riding for no reason. So what's the reason? Oh, my goal is to bond more with the playmates, which that was always something that was important to me, is like make everybody feel welcome, you know,
yeah,
the girls have fun, get to know everybody. But I wouldn't say that was like my resolution. I feel like at this point in my life, that was already on autopilot.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that with like your vision board and stuff? You want to keep certain things good and you don't necessarily have to put them on a vision board because they're not new goals. But do you ever feel superstitious for not putting them on there?
Yes.
Like I always put on my vision board, I'll put like extra pictures of like me with my kids because like I feel like so lucky with my kids. Like everything's so great and the relationship's so great. And I'll have goals like, well, I want to take them on this trip or I want to do this or get them into this activity. But I feel superstitious that I'm not putting something that's already on autopilot, aka making memories for my kids or getting along with my kids or building that relationship or whatever. But I'll put extra pictures of me and my kids just out of like superstition. To like,
yeah, I do that too, because I'm like, I don't want this to stop. Like, mm-hmm. I want this to continue in my life. So this goes on there again, even though I already have it.
Totally. So I feel like this wasn't really my New Year's resolution or my goal. It was just a way to circle in. How are we going to make an excuse for them horseback riding? And this scene where I'm in my bathrobe in the dining room calling the girls. And I think this was probably like on a Wednesday night when half was playing cards in the other room. It just, it's such an unnatural scene and just a perfect example of how reality TV is never truly really reality. Because I think to invite those girls over, I would have either emailed everybody, told them when they were up at a buffet, or texted the ones who were texting or called the ones. I wouldn't have sat there on the phone and dialed each and every one
and got the voicemail.
But that's the only way you can get it on camera, really.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's how the show is establishing the shot, mm-hmm. though. Like, there was a lot of times where I had to call somebody on camera, even if it's just my mom, to say, yeah, so we're going to go and do this because we have to establish that we're going to go and do this.
Yeah. And the best way to do it if you're filming a phone call is to tell the recipient of the call, hey, we're going to be calling at this time and recording it. Clearly, we didn't do that with the girls because nobody, I think Sarah answers the phone, Janine answers the phone. Allison didn't. And it's funny because her voicemail message was the Lionel Richie song, hello, is it me?
That's funny.
And it was actually kind of funny the way it played. Like, it was actually kind of funny comic timing. But of course, they couldn't include it because they don't want to pay for the song.
Right.
So. Sadsies.
It is sad because that would have been funny.
Yeah. Losing weight can be hard. Trust me, I know. After 2 kids, things change with your body. And when it comes to prioritizing your health and feeling confident and strong, it can be difficult to even know where to start. Where do you even start? Now you can get your health in check and be confident that you're on the right track to getting healthy through HERS.
HERS is changing women's healthcare by providing access to GLP-1 weekly injections with the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy, as well as oral medication kits. Weight loss by HERS is realistic and not restrictive, and is focused on giving you access to the solution that is right for you. HERS connects you with a medical provider who will work with you to determine your best treatment option. If prescribed, you get the medication as part of a doctor-developed weight loss program, complete with ongoing support, check-ins, medication adjustments, and answers to questions 100% online at no additional cost. Through HERS, weight loss plans are more affordable, with GLP-1 injections starting at $199 per month with a 12-month subscription, no hidden fees, no access fees, no membership fees. Plus, your personalized treatment ships for free directly to your door. So you've been struggling with your weight loss journey? It's time to find an option that works for you. with Hers. Start your free online visit today at forhers.com/next level. That's forhers.com/next level for your personalized weight loss treatment options. Forhers.com/next level. Not available everywhere. Hers weight loss includes compounded products which are not approved nor verified for safety or effectiveness by FDA. Prescription products require provider consultation. Restrictions apply. Actual price to customer will depend on product and subscription plan purchase. I would think that your real goal at that time was to do the photo editing at the studio.
I think that's what it was. I wanted to. And I never thought that could be a job for me. Like, I never thought I would get that job. But at that point, I was like, oh, I want to apprentice for my own at the studio. That was a goal. And probably like starting a family was kind of like a lofty goal. But those are probably like my real goals.
Yeah. So then it shows you and Hef in bed watching a documentary on the 1939 World's Fair. And they show Sally Rand's nude ranch.
Yes. And I think that's kind of a funny thing.
Tell people who Sally Rand was.
Sally Rand was a burlesque dancer in the 1930s. She was very famous. She would do like this dance with a big bubble. She would do fan dances, things like that. And at the World's Fair they had in San Francisco in 1939, I think it was, she had this exhibit called Sally Rand's Nude Ranch. And it would be all these nude women who were like strategically covered with like a big bandana over their boobs or walking around with like a belt with like the gun holster like in front of your crotch and over your butt crack. So this was like a big attraction. And I remember Hef telling me when he was a kid, there were two World's Fairs that year. There was one in New York and one in San Francisco. And like him and Keith really wanted to go and like convince, you know, their parents to take them. And Keith wanted to go to the New York one, but Hef wanted to go to the San Francisco one because he knew about the Sally Rand's nude ranch.
Okay, well, this is interesting for a couple reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, I didn't know that there were two World's Fairs in two different locations. I thought the World's Fair was just the World's Fair, period, in one spot. And each city, it was kind of like the Olympics. When you got to host it, it was like a big deal. And then secondly, I am shocked that they would allow like the Sally Rand's Nude Ranch or like a burlesque thing or anything. Like, it just seems like people were so buttoned up.
It is surprising. I mean, the only thing is this, they were covered. Like, you weren't really seeing anything.
Seems scandalous for the times. Like, I feel like it would be scandalous now if somebody did that at a World's Fair and there were like kids present and things like that. People would be outraged. And
maybe there was an adult section. I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
Yeah. But I just feel like I'm shocked for several reasons on this.
Yeah. And it shows me and Hef watching this. And I don't think that's what we were watching in real life, because them inserting the Sally Rand footage in there was a surprise for Hef. I remember like asking for the footage and saying Dickie Ban wanted it. And then Kevin put it in, and then Hef didn't know until he saw the rough cut. And then he super got a kick out of it. So what they show us watching, I don't know what we're watching, but I'm grinning like a fucking psycho. So either I'm laughing at something I think is really funny, or I don't know what we were really watching or what was going down. And you know what's funny too is they kind of play it off like a couple times in the show. One, when I'm in there talking to you about it, and when I'm talking about inviting the girls and stuff like that, I feel like they're playing it off like I'm inviting the girls to go nude horseback riding. Did you get that?
Yes.
Which is never, that was never the plan. I mean, I think it's funny for the show, and I think it's smart that they built it up that way, because if I were an audience member, I would be expecting to see us like half naked on these horses. The way they're building this up. I know. Oh, well, especially because it was so goddamn cold. But they're building it up like it looks like I'm trying to rope everybody in to like get naked on a horse.
Yeah, because it shows the half naked girls walking around in cowboy outfits, and then it says Holly thought that would be a great way for all the girls to bond.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a bonding experience
for sure. So the next scene, I'm in my room, the story of my life, lint rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Pet fur off of me.
Well, like, how you even lint roll Winnie.
Yeah, I do that to my cats now, too. Mm-hmm. And I say my number one New Year's resolution is to work on my career and do a demo reel and get voiceover stuff in place. Chuck McCann is a voiceover guru, and he volunteered to help me. And I think we've talked a little bit about Chuck on here before.
Yeah, he did all these famous commercials and voiceovers. He's one of Hef's friends. We saw him sledding down the hill in the Christmas episode.
With a bloody nose.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And he says, kibbles and bits and bits and bits. Those are the two I know. He also did DuckTales.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of cartoons. I mean, he's done so much stuff. And I really wanted to do voiceover. I've always wanted to be in a cartoon. Like, I just thought it would be so fun to be a cartoon character.
Me too.
Really?
Well, I wanted to be a super bunny.
But
that was about it.
I wanted to be a super bunny. Like, I wanted that so bad. I really did. But I wanted to be in a cartoon, like a little kid's cartoon. So I'm doing this demo reel for it. I mean, it's close to broadcasting and things like that. And then I say something about, but it's different because you can let all your different personalities show. And then it shows me like all these weird things, like doing these weird, creepy laughs.
Yeah,
and
like a montage of like your different personalities. But do you feel like they snuck in a lot of nudity into that montage that wasn't really necessary? Like, why is you running out of the pool, tits out, a personality?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the other stuff I get, because it's showing you in costume or laughing or doing, like, funny things.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a couple random, like, nudity ones. And I'm like, is that really necessary? Like, I think they're getting, like, notes, like, can we get more nudity or desperate for nudity? And well, we're not really giving it up as much anymore as we used to. So they have to like mine the archives.
Right. And Becca did say they were asking for more all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's very possible. But anyways, I just like voiceover because you can have fun with it, especially if you're doing like a cartoon character and stuff. You can be silly and you're not like in front of somebody typically where they're like watching you and you're like acting in front of them. You're like in a sound booth with a microphone and earphones on and like, you know.
I tried to audition for some stuff for voiceover and did some voiceover classes and stuff, but I feel like my voice is just too flat.
Oh, I did like a 2-year course in voiceover during this time in the mansion. And I, you know, did the demo reel and everything. I went out for auditions for some commercials. I went out for a cartoon that was the only thing I got a call back on.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about this in commentary. Do you remember Chuck McCann? And this is going to sound creepier than it is because it really wasn't creepy. But every time you'd see him, you'd be like, give Uncle Chucky a hug.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. So the next scene is kind of quick. It's just Ellen, the butler, bringing plastic bins up to Kendra's room. And they're still just like organizing everything. And then they kind of do a cut to your vanity. And then they do a cut to my room to show like organized, not organized.
I feel like mine, even though technically it's organized, it doesn't look it because it is so cluttered for the small space. Like I have so much shit packed into the vanity shelves. It's just crazy.
But compared to Kendra's room, it looks organized.
Yeah. So Kendra's cleaning her room and she picks up this thing that you see for a split second.
Oh, the square thing with
the
bunny on it?
We call it the mystery Playboy device because no one ever figured out what that was. It was something she got in her stocking for Christmas, only she got it. And it was a weird, soft, like pleather, vinyl, white, squishy square with a hole in it with a Playboy bunny on it.
I have no idea what that could have been.
Nobody figured out what it was. Penis cozy.
Dog toy?
Maybe like you hide a treat in it. Maybe it's one of those things.
I feel like those didn't even exist back then. Maybe they did, but
nobody figured it out.
Yeah.
So no one knows.
It's it was weird.
An unsolved mystery.
Okay. So then the next scene is my sister and I. We're in my Porsche heading to the recording studio. We go to Voice Tracks West, which is a recording studio in the Valley. And Chuck is waiting for me. And he brought Wally Wingert to help out. And
who is that? Because he's a character.
Okay. Wally does tons of voiceover. Like, he's really well known in the voiceover
industry. He looks like he would be.
And he does a character on The Simpsons, or I think he does several characters on The Simpsons. And he and I have stayed friends ever since.
Oh, that's fun.
So I'm like, this is so cool because this is the first time I'm meeting him, but we are literally still friends to this day.
Has he ever been in an episode of The Simpsons that predicted the future?
I don't know. I'd have to ask him. But he's also very much a memorabilia collector, kind of like Rich Carell. I mean, not to the same extent, but he has like all kinds of memorabilia and everything. And he's super into like Monster Palooza and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes we go to those kind of events together.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
Yeah, he's a really fun guy. So, but this is our first time meeting. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he is the reason I do my paranormal podcast.
Why? How did he start that?
So one day about like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever, we went to lunch. We often just go to lunch just to catch up or whatever if we haven't seen each other in a while. And he's like, so what else is going on? Blah, blah, blah. What do you want to be doing? Like, what are your goals? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and he's really into the broadcasting and the voiceover and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, what I really want to do right now is a podcast. He's like, oh, about what? And I'm like, I'm thinking paranormal stuff. And he's like, oh, that's fun. You should do it. And I'm like, yeah, I just don't really know how to get that off the ground or launch that and everything. I know it's something people can kind of do even just from home, but I kind of want to do it on like a more professional level. I don't know what to do. And he's like, you know what? I know somebody that can help you out with that. And he introduced me to this other guy, and we worked together and got it going. And that was the first podcast.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
That was amazing. So I owe my paranormal podcast getting started to Wally. So a lot of the copy that I read was written by Wally too, ahead of time, so that we weren't like violating any copyright or anything like that. And we go into the sound booth to rehearse, and Winnie's with me.
Sprinkles Cupcakes gets a free advertisement.
They do. And then Chuck is like, okay, how about when there's a period, you take a pause?
That's so funny. And then he goes, now take it real slow and sexy. And I'm like,
why is it so weird to hear Chuck say it like that?
Because he's like an uncle.
Yeah, he's like grandpa vibes, but yet he's like saying the word sexy. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, and it's also weird because like you're talking about food.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah. So then I do the Mama Miller.
So yeah, you're reading this copy about like what sounds like a cookie with something in the middle. And Kevin saw this footage and was like, what is a Mama Miller's? Where do we get a Mama Miller's? We want a Mama Miller's.
Everybody was asking me, where are the Mama Miller's? Like I sold those Mama Miller's. Yeah. Like people wanted them, but it's just a made up ad for like a brownie. It was like a ooey gooey Mama Miller's brownie.
Yeah, I'm picturing a whole Mrs. Fields thing.
Yeah, and so that's the one. They're like, okay, got it.
And it's funny, too, because when you're on, like, the slow and sexy read, it cuts back to Wally, and they make it look like he's making a pervy face, like he's like... It's so funny, which I'm sure he wasn't. I'm sure that was just a random face.
Yeah.
From any moment in time.
But, like, where did my sister go? She's, like, totally missing... Wait, at first I was asking, where did my sister go? Because she's like missing from the scene. But then I realized she's not there anymore. She was there when I'm filming to like, and they're not really filming me going to the recording studio when they're showing us in the car. And when I say, let's go to the recording studio, we aren't really going to the recording studio at that time. So my sister doesn't actually go to the recording studio with me. It makes it look like she does, but she doesn't.
Yeah, that's weird that they wanted you prepping with your sister. I mean, I guess you need somebody to talk to and say, we're going to the recording studio.
Because my sister was only there for the 4th of July, New Year's Eve party. Yeah. Like she came after the holidays and just stayed for New Year's Eve and then went home. So I think I'm filming this after the new, you know, like probably the first week or second week of the new year. So, and then I think it's cute because I know you guys don't know who she is, but Betty McCann, Chuck's wife, she's this sweet little... She's so little, especially compared to Chuck, because he's so tall and big. All of a sudden, you see her little cameo. She pokes her head out the door, and she's like, bye.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
Just like the way she would walk into buffet, she would always have her sunglasses on and be a little blissed out. Like, I don't think she was a stoner, but that was kind of the vibe when she walked in.
Maybe she was.
Maybe, yeah.
And then the next scene, we're back in Kendra's room. They're still cleaning. They said it took 5 hours. And then they show like a before and an after. And
the after is like an improvement, but it's not great.
I would go
nuts. I mean, I'm sure they did a great job considering the time they had, but it's not like the home edit where you see like a mess and then, oh my God, this is amazing. And look at that organized pantry. Like, it's just like there's some clearing on the floor.
Yeah.
And then there's really disorganized bins full of shit.
Yeah.
And a dog in a bin.
Yeah. And then they asked Julie, do you think Kendra's going to keep it this way? And she was like, never.
No. Yeah. And we're joking around in commentary about how it just got messy again, like a week later or something like that.
I bet it didn't even last a week.
Yeah. Okay. So we will see you guys next week. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel and check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.